scripture reading this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 and 22 through 28. Listen to the word of God. At that time, this people and Jerusalem will be told, "A scorching wind from the barren heights in the desert blows toward my people, but not to winnow or cleanse. A wind too strong for that comes from me. Now I pronounce my judgments against them. My people are fools. They do not know me. They are senseless children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil. They know not how to do good. I looked at the earth, and it was formless and empty, and at the heavens, and their light was gone. I looked at the mountains, and they were quaking. All the hills were swaying. I looked, and there were no people. Every bird in the sky had flown away. I looked, and the fruitful land was a desert. All its towns lay in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. This is what the Lord says. The whole land will be ruined, though I will not destroy it completely. Therefore the earth will mourn, and the heavens above grow dark, because I have spoken and will not relent. I have decided and will not turn back." The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. God, our helper, by your Holy Spirit, open our minds. Lead us into your truth, all for the sake of Jesus Christ, for it's in his name we ask it. Amen. I've always kind of liked the, do you want the bad news or the good news first kind of jokes. And there's one about the doctor who says that. I have good news and bad news, and the patient says, "Well, I guess I'll take the good news first." And the doctor says, "You have 24 hours to live." And the patient says, "What? That's good news? What is the bad news?" The doctor says, "I've been trying to call you for the last 24 hours. I'm going with the bad news first this morning, by the way. If you didn't already hear it in that scripture reading that Bill shared with us, the earth is like a World War I no man's land. It's like Hiroshima on August 7, 1945. The world is formless and void, says Jeremiah. Is he just dreaming? Well, partially, I think. It's Jeremiah's prophetic vision of the world falling apart. And for him, that disintegration would come soon. He was one of the prophets who continually warned the southern kingdom of Judah that if their people didn't treat one another with justice and their lives remained far from God, they would be destroyed. He was right. History tells us that the destruction of Judah came at the hands of the Babylonians in 587 B.C., In his prophetic vision, he says, "I looked at the earth, and it was formless and void." When I read that, I said, "Wait a minute, that sounds familiar. That comes from Genesis chapter 1, as God was creating. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and void." So Jeremiah is describing a kind of decreation of the world. "I looked at the mountains, and they were quaking. All the hills were swaying. I looked, and there were no people. Every bird in the sky had flown away. I looked on the fruitful land. It was a desert. All its towns lay in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger." Not a pretty scene. That's why I honestly said, I'm giving you the bad news first. Genesis pictures God creating the world out of a mess, or as I told the children, out of nothing. formless and void before the creative word of God goes forth. In Jeremiah's prophecy, creation sinks back into disorder. Genesis 1 is reversed. Humans, animals, vegetation vanish. The dry land itself totters. The skies no longer give life. And chaos that had waited in eternity for God's original creative touch returns. Everything familiar or loving, everything that was productive or predictable or promising, everything that was comfortable, abundant, or hopeful is gone. This is a bad news story. Remember, this is what Jeremiah sees. We hear about it from him, but he is seeing this. Jeremiah tells us, along with the citizens of Judah, shortly before 587 BC, that our world is very unstable. That shouldn't come as news to any of us, that particular piece of information. In fact, to the geologic eye, all the surface of the earth is a fluid form, and mankind moves upon it insecurely, just as Peter was walking on the water to Christ, wrote Will and Ariel Durant in The Lessons of History. That's how unstable our earth is, how unpredictable it is. Moving from the physical world to the social, we realize that civilization is merely a thin veneer overlaying cruelty and savagery. And such cruelty and savagery, once in a while, just bursts out unexpectedly, like the lunacy of wars that have been fought throughout history. Or a worker who was fired shows up to shoot up his former place of employment. And if you're only one generation separated from barbarity, and I believe we are, we need to make wise choices. Our personal sanity is also held only by a thread. Think about how something out of the ordinary can ruin our whole day, week, or month. Witness how our lives are thrown into disorder by disaster, such as a hurricane. It's not just that hurricanes can do unspeakable physical damage. They remind us of how fragile our existence is. Just beyond the edge of our ordered lives, chaos threatens, such as when a friend betrays us. An infant is born with little chance of surviving. Floodwaters rise. We hurt someone we love. Our house burns down. A loved one dies. A tornado sweeps away all that we own. An assassin strikes. We lose our job. We have a serious car accident. Our spouse files divorce papers. Or we get mugged. That's only a sampling of the news that we read about and hear about every single day. We aren't secure people living in a stable world. Yet in our routines and habits, we try to act like and convince ourselves that we can hold back the chaos. In those times when we're healthy and balanced, we project our small feeling of well-being upon the physical world and like to go on pretending that all is well. To some degree, we must resist the tides of chaos that threaten to drown us. The universe assigns each of us the large task of bringing enough order, at least into our own personal lives, to continue living. But we often overdo our efforts to push back the borders of chaos, and we deny what we're doing. We even attempt to bring order out of death and deny its tragedy. I've often wondered, why not bury people in the cemetery with the randomness of life and death? Instead, we have orderly, straight rows in which we bury our loved ones. Jeremiah squares off against the people of 6th century BC Judah and forced on them his vision of their predicament, which would most assuredly end in catastrophe. This is how it went down. And this is how we know that Jeremiah was a true prophet, because his prophecy came to pass. It happened. The Babylonians destroyed their country, tore down Jerusalem's walls, and ruined their temple. So the word Jeremiah spoke was true. Jeremiah won't let any of us today believe that the world or the systems of the world in which we live are here eternally. No matter how hard we try, Jeremiah won't let us fool ourselves as individuals or societies that we're invincible or immortal. Humans have always used some kind of government or some kind of religion to surround ourselves with security. And by the way, I've noticed it's not new, but sports have become a religion in our society. Not only observable at the Super Bowl time, but at the shock and rage of athletes in any sport that use performance-enhancing drugs. How could these heroes, these high priests of athletics, fall into sin? Is nothing sacred? It isn't pleasant to gaze at Jeremiah's vision of chaos returning, an earth that is formless and void. It isn't reassuring to consider how fragile our lives are, nor do we gain much strength from the present age in which we live. We are far more fragile than we would admit. To compensate for our unattached, insecure feelings, more and more people in our society, in our culture, turn to extremists, right-wing, left-wing extremists, secret societies, cults that offer adherents all the answers if they will only blindly obey what they're taught. No matter what tricks we use to try to preserve our ordered social world, and our social world, friends, is just as real as the physical world around us that God created. Nothing in this world can give us absolute certainty. There's nothing in this world that can assure our security. We shall, all of us, die, and this body of ours will decompose. Remember, I did say the bad news would come first. Jeremiah gazes in horror at his nation, despoiled and destroyed. And we ask, what can we do in this fragile world in which we live? Well, I think the good news is lodged in his message in the fact that he cares about what he is saying. He's not only a visionary, a dreamer, but he feels the pain that goes along with it. He's upset, distraught, and tortured about what awaits God's people, his people. Jeremiah doesn't enjoy having to say what he says. It's his land, his temple, his religion. Now, mind you, when we read the history of Jeremiah, most of the people that were his neighbors and friends despised him. They hated his guts. They wanted to see him hurt or eliminated. But in any case, know that what brings God's people pain also brought Jeremiah pain. No picnic being God's prophet, by the way. And yet all that he feels for his people is only a fraction, just a little piece of the sorrow and sadness that God feels when God looks at our world. So, let's hear the good news. What do you say? You ready for some good news? 600 years after Jeremiah, Jesus arrives and he begins to tell the truth and he begins to feel the sorrow and the pain of the world. He's torn apart by our sin and suffers for our wrongdoing. Jesus' heart is broken for us. When he dies, remember, the sun stops shining. His body's dragged from the cross and dumped in a tomb. The world dips back toward chaos. Everything important comes loose and begins to lean toward destruction, kind of like a skyscraper that is about to fall in an earthquake. His students are reduced to mumbling and confusion, hiding from the authorities. The world again becomes chaotic. In their confusion, Jesus' disciples wonder, is there anything really stable in this world? And then on Sunday night, Jesus enters the locked room where they had been hiding, and it's like the sun was shining again as it shone on the very first day of God's creation. Out of the mess, out of the chaos, the confusion of Jesus' death, murdered by representatives of the world's top government and leaders of its best religion by a seemingly democratic decision, because remember, the majority cries out, "Crucify him," he doesn't stay dead. Jesus steps among his friends, risen, talking, walking, telling them of a new creation and guaranteeing them that this world, no matter what goes on in it, belongs to God. It's true. We belong to God. One thing we can always trust is that God loves us enough to suffer for us, enough to die for us. The risen Jesus arrives every Sunday in this room when we gather here to worship. No matter what the chaos of the world is or the chaos of our lives, God promises to be here, and God is stable and secure even though the mountains tremble. The world is falling apart. Jeremiah was absolutely right about that. Isn't it time then we put our trust in God? With God, life continues. Destruction isn't the final act. Death isn't the last word. The last word belongs to God, and God has spoken the last word in the good news of Jesus, who came and who died and who rose again. Are you ready for some more good news? Jim Dennison shared this story a few days ago. A man walks into a Costco store in Florida and bought 100 generators. They cost him $450 apiece. Why would any person need 100 generators? Well, he wouldn't, but people in the Bahamas would. He sent them all there by boat after he purchased them. And that's where the story ends, because he didn't want to attract attention to himself. He wanted to point others toward those in the Bahamas who are in need. Meanwhile, a 6-year-old boy in South Carolina was saving up for a trip to Disney World when Hurricane Dorian struck. He decided to use his money to feed evacuees instead. A 6-year-old. While the storm has finally dissipated, its effects will be felt for years, as will the goodwill of people who have chosen to serve those in need. You see, extending our faith to hurting people may not change the world, but it changes their world. We also recognize that it would be naive of us to say that everything's fine, that the world's not falling apart. But in light of that, we need to put our trust in God and in the power of his love, which is propelled by his amazing grace. We also recognize that our church is so much more than a place we come to socialize. It's more than just a building located at 1760 Pine Hollow Road. Our church is a community, a family of faith. It's a place where imperfect people, no matter how different we may be, come together around one shared absolute truth. Jesus loves each one of us, and he loves us to the end. Thank you for coming this morning to Back to Church Sunday, as we recognize that even though the earth will mourn and the heavens above grow dark, God loves us, each one of us. Never forget that. Amen.